that's just a testament to his performance in this particular one.
And his range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is playing this very honestly. And
yeah. I mean, it really, you know, this is a word you like to use a lot. I know it doesn't feel forced.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that. Now I'm going to make sure and point out everything that does feel forced. But, you know, there's not that much.
There's not a whole lot. I mean, I tend to be able to point out, you know, figure out, it's like, that doesn't really feel right, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of playing
payoff, a bit over. Payoff. Sorry.
Dum, dum. What I do like about this movie, and what I like about, well, all of the movies, but what I was just thinking about with this movie is, you know, I mean, you have all the cliches, but you still don't really know how they're going to figure in as far as how it all works out. Mm.
Yes.
This is excellent.
Another model not built to scale.
Really quote done. Quite well done. Pretty fun.
Right by the old man Silvermine. That's not a cliche or anything.
No.
this part three is very much in the spirit of the first one.
Yeah.
Very much more in the spirit of the first one than the second one ever was.
Yeah. Well, the second one, you know, was a different type of story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really see the consequences of this sort of time travel a little more in-depth.
Uh-huh.
In-depth than you do in the first two.
Yes.
I mean, the first two are more traditional fun adventures.
Yeah. Did I mention that part two never had to happen?
Yes, we did mention that in part two.
Okay.
Of course. Then that would have meant this one never had to happen, but...
Exactly, but you know what?
It was a happy... It's a happy mistake.
Happy accident, exactly. And again, you know, I know I mentioned this till I was blue in the face on part two commentary, but, you know, what I like is that the filmmakers acknowledge that, you know, this was a... Yeah.
This is almost the exact same story as part one, too. Except it's Dokken who's in a romantic relationship, for lack of a better term, although I don't know if
thank
I would
God.
Call that for... Although I don't know if I would call Marty in a romantic
thank,
relationship.
Yeah, I was just about to acknowledge that, you know.
Yeah.
Let's just thank God that Mary Steenburgen isn't Doc's mother. So.
Yeah, that would have been a bit awkward.
But, you know, as far as, you know, we were discussing, you know, we were comparing and contrasting third chapters and trilogies not too long ago, you know, when we were discussing Return of the King.
Yeah.
And, you know, for what it's worth, this is a good third chapter.
Yes.
You know, it's just a good third chapter in the trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, it brings everything full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it does.
You know, it's... You can't imagine the movies ending any other way,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, is the ultimate testament to a last chapter. Here's a fact. Copernicus and Einstein are not played by the same dog.
I didn't think so. But Have you? I mean, you got the internet right there, Ryan. Why don't you just look up who Copernicus is right now?
That's exactly what I was just about to get on.
Yeah. So I mean,
I'm pretty sure it has something to. I'm
with astrology,
sure
not astronomy. Astronomy.
Yeah, not astrology.
No,
not you know, fake science.
Yes, don't get me started on astrology, please. Do not get me started on astrology. I will go to town on that.
And, oh, who were they going to get to?
They were going to get Ronald Reagan to play the mayor of Hill
Valley.
That's
right.
Which would have been so cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, because, I mean, he wasn't the president anymore.
Yeah.
But that would just been the neatest thing. But that ultimately fell through, of course.
Yeah.
I like this moment.
Yeah. And the cameraman is actually Dean Cundey, the director of photography.
Yeah. Spitting. Mm-hmm. I just love that moment between them.
Because
Doc's being Doc and Marty's being Marty.
Yeah.
Doc's like, too bad we're never going to have to show this anyway. And Marty's just like, shut up, Doc, and smile. That's a great character moment.
Yeah.
And there's the Country Western spin put on Double Back again.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it's just called Double Back, the ZZ Top single.
Yeah.
Which, it's a pretty good, I mean, I don't listen to ZZ Top, but it's a good song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a very good song.
What did the producer say in the commentaries that ZZ Top apparently wasn't familiar with the Back to the Future movies, and he wanted that they had suggested to the filmmakers that the ZZ Top mobile be the time machine, something like that, and I was like, yeah. I know I'm sounding like this is coming directly out of my ass, but you can listen to the commentary, you know, for part three and find out that it is in fact. Well, I don't know if it's just a myth made up by the producers, but it is something that's actually talked about. This is a very sweet moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I love this talk and dance.
Copernicus was a famous astronomer.
Oh, really, Brian?
Yes.
Tell me more about him. Seeing as how you know so much about...
He was interested in local politics and became a civil leader.
Doc and dance?
He studied Latin, mathematics, astronomy, geography, and philosophy.
And you're not reading that off the internet, are you, Brian?
Why, yes, in fact, I am. Yeah, I apologize.
Again, I apologize to our science majors who may be listening to that, if anybody ever listens to this.
Another part of the commentary I think is interesting is, you know, when this movie was distributed to other countries, people in other countries weren't familiar with what 7-Eleven was. And in all the dubbed versions, Marty says in that joke right there that he learned how to do that in Disneyland.
Haven't you mentioned that before?
I did. I mentioned that in part one.
That's right.
Somehow that came up, even though that wasn't even part of the movie.
I don't even remember where we were, how we got there, but...
And again, like we said in part two, we absolutely love the fact that the principal is the town sheriff.
James Tolkien.
Yeah.
weird but, seeing him with hair.
Yes.
Albeit with very long hair and a mustache.
This actor's played some very similar roles in other movies. Plays a lot of cops and authority figures.
Cliche! Cliche!
I'm sorry.
This entire scene is a cliche. Haven't you seen Unforgiven?
Yeah. The, there's, Strickland Jr.
Yes, Strickland comes from a long line of principals. Or at least authority figures.
I think a lot of this was done blue screen.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
I think this is right here, this is VistaGlide, but in a minute it's going to be blue screen.
Yeah, far out, okay.
Yeah. Lee Thompson and Michael J. Fox doing a really good... Is that Irish?
Thank you. We're aware. It's a long-ass movie.
What did she just say?
Pearl Harbor is still on.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. We really didn't want to say the name of the movie on here, but, you know.
Yes, Pearl Harbor is still on in the next room.
Yeah. And there's a very good reason why we're not watching this. Why we're not watching that. This has a much better love story.
Mm-hmm.
Poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Just pure poetry.
Well, we talked about which movie I think Biff is at his scariest, and I think we agreed it was Part 2, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely especially during the alternate 1985 sequence.
Mm-hmm.
This is where he's just really milking the evilness of this character just for everything it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes another cliche coming up.
Oh yeah, the shooting the hat off the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say the frisbee throwing, but...
Uh-huh.
No, obviously, the shooting the hat off the head. Again, something from the good, the bad,
lighten,
the ugly.
Lighten up, jerk. Like, what the hell does that mean?
Not me.
I think it's an insult, though. Sorry.
That's part two.
That's
a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think he did the clucking part two.
No, so the clucking came out of a...
It's good to hear that here.
The clucking came out of a random... I don't know what the hell that was, but it was funny.
Well...
We're robbing the podcast.
What about Monday? We doing anything Monday? I love the fact that they give away their entire plan for the next day.
And plus, just the fact that he has a schedule.
Yeah.
You know, he has...
Reference to a classic Western, which takes place in real time. Gary Cooper and Grace Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Cut to the baby crying.
Mm-hmm.
Always good for drama. Yeah, didn't you hear the gunshot just a minute ago there, Marshall?
I'm just curious
if you... So you don't get anything for shooting a gun off in the middle of a festival, but you get 15 days for brawling now.
Yeah. And I'm about to check this out because I'm pretty sure I'm right. Wasn't Tolkien the, Unforgiven a couple years after this with Gene Hackman's character reading one of the books by Saul Rubinek. Writer, the Duck of Death.
Mm-hmm. Well, that theoretically, yes, but what if the train is late? Wait, what do you mean late?
Anyway, what I was about to say was, if I'm not mistaken, James Tolkien was, he was Stinger in Top Gun.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was the,
Your body's writing checks your ego can't cash. Great line.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to mind if he loses, seeing as though he'll be dead.
And if there was a message in this movie, it's that fighting is bad.
And you need to think about the future.
Yeah. Well, I think that's been a message in all three movies.
Yeah.
I think that's like... Your brother. Yeah, this is blue screen right here.
Yeah.
But pretty darn good-looking blue screen work. I mean, the longer you look at it, the longer it starts to... And the more it starts to look like blue screen, but...
I don't know, that looks pretty decently. I mean, it looks pretty seamless.
That's a neat shot.
Yeah,
schoolhouse. And...
This is really some beautiful cinematography. This is the best. This is the best cinematography in any of these movies.
I know. Look at that. They got the horse in there. They got Doc and.
Yeah, but I mean, just the way everything looks. I mean, they really did a good job of. Shooting this movie.
Do you think the fact that Copernicus being an astronomist is kind of like a wink to the fact that Mary Steenburgen's character's into astronomy?
I never thought about that, but I mean, obviously the name is intentional, but
yeah.
You know, it's in terms of science, but I never thought about that.
Because, I mean, have we ever heard...
Who Copernicus was. So.
Well, he was... And Copernicus was in Back to the Future Part 1, but did we ever...
You never heard the name.
No.
So, yeah, it could have been this sort of a
nod.
Lead up to this.
Yeah. Which is interesting if you think about it.
Yeah. Did we just pass the part where they're talking
shooting
about Jules? Where they're talking about Jules Verne? And he says,
"Yes, you did."
It made me feel like it.
Right.
I was a boy.
Oh, here's
that's really a great reading.
Mm-hmm. Here's a take on the opening sequence to Part 1.
Yeah,
if there ever was one.
you would think that the string that is on would, you know, break with the fire.
I just love the fact that there's a chicken there scheduled to lay eggs at a certain time. I just love that.
Well, scheduled or forced? I mean, well, I guess it could be scheduled.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Okay.
Okay, we didn't even see that. I know, I'm guessing a lot of girls like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, we... I doubt it, but, I mean, it's just me.
Well, no, I just remember listening to the producer commentary and him mentioning that, you know, that was something specifically put in for the... Although I don't know
Taxi Driver.
Although I don't know how big of a female fan base this series has, but
probably not too big of one. But
and homage to Dirty Harry, if there ever was one.
Yeah.
Okay. Walking down.
Well, he's Eastwood.
Yeah. A lot of these extras are being played by, I think, crew members.
Yeah.
Who I think really wanted to be have their moment. How much have we seen of Christopher Lloyd lately?
Not too much. Not too much at all.
Unfortunately, he's been more or less forced to do... Well, I mean, I guess it's all in how you look at it, you know, whether or not he was forced or whether or not he just made the decision to work on smaller projects.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know... I mean, but he really has done some of his best work with Robert Zemeckis. You know, Back to the Future trilogy and Roger Rabbit. And, you know.
Trying to find out what else he's done. Did voice in Hey Arnold, the movie.
He's done a lot of voice work.
The Mike Nichols TV movie with Emma Thompson.
And we just talked over probably my favorite moment between Marty and Doc and where Marty says, "Great Scott," and Doc says, I know this is heavy. Just a great moment. Huh? What?
This is something we've never heard before. I mean, you know,
it's a plot point that was developed in the second one. And
well, it's a plot point that's introduced that something happens to Marty in the future, but you don't exactly know what.
Mm-hmm. I think there was some, the filmmakers were acknowledging in the commentary that, you know, there was some concern whether or not in the 6 months in between the release of part two and three, whether or not the fans would remember all this. You know, the plot points that were established in part two, you know, and how they were carried over into part three.
I'm not even going to make the reference that I could make with that statement because we're going to be talking about that later. But yeah, see the Matrix movies.
Yeah.
Sorry, had to do it.
Yeah.
Oh God, he was in My Favorite Martian, which I completely forgot about. The animated Anastasia.
Uh huh. Well, he's done a lot of voice work.
Yeah.
As has Michael J. Fox in recent years.
Yeah. Angel was in The Outfield. I forgot about
that. Oh yeah.
And Adam's Family. The Adam's Family.
Oh yeah. Those. Yeah.
As Uncle Fester.
Fester. I'm actually a pretty big fan of the first one.
I love the second one.
Yeah, I know you like the second one a lot better than you.
I like the first one, but I love the second one.
I'm more of a fan of the first one.
I just
and you know Mike and Christopher Lloyd was he's pretty much perfect for that role.
Oh God,
Uncle
yes.
Fester. I mean, he was.
They cast those movies to perfection. I mean,
yeah.
Let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah, Raul Julia,
and Angelica Houston,
Christina Ricci.
Young Christina Ricci.
Yeah, don't get me started on how brilliant that was.
Yeah.
What movie are we talking about here?
We're supposed to be talking about Back to the Future 3.
Yes, we are.
We're talking about the Addams Family movies. They really did just a wonderful job in making you care about these characters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you really get a sense of how Marty feels about this,
how the characters
and really
feel about each other.
And really the difficulty about that Doc's, you know, you can see that Doc sees the difficulty in this decision he's about to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these two are such good friends, and really his decision to stay with Clara just basically goes against everything he believes in as a scientist. He's making this more as, you know, as a human being. Mm-hmm. It's really a difficult decision for him, to where he ends up doing this, which
pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah. Really moving scene.
Again, it's the fact that these two actors played to this love story so earnestly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel forced.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, I mean, you really see how Robert Zemeckis really is a pretty underrated director. I mean, he's basically been in the shadow of
Spielberg
his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And
who produced these movies and Roger Rabbit.
That's correct. And you know, you really, I mean,
well, the thing is, I mean, how successful have his non-Spielberg produced movies been?
Well, I mean, there's Forrest Gump.
Yeah, there's
which
Gump.
Is
right.
One of the biggest hits of all time.
Right.
He's made a name for himself, but I think it's as much with the people they works with. I mean, like Jodie Foster in Contact, uh-huh. Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer and What Lies Beneath, and
Tom,
you know,
Hanks,
Tom Hanks, obviously.
And
I think
in Castaway and
yeah, and you know, I think the popularity of Tom Hanks at the time Forrest Gump came out had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still popular, but I mean, at the time he was coming off of Sleepless in Seattle and Philadelphia, but. And, you know, I mean, I'll admit, I think the Back to the Future movies are, or at least the first and third ones, are probably his best films.
Mm-hmm.
I think Castaway is not too far behind.
Mm-hmm.
Romance in the Stone has to be up there as well.
Yeah. Well, what my thoughts are on part two and how that's...
Yeah. And I definitely have a better appreciation for part two than I did before we did that commentary.
Mm-hmm. Robert Zemeckis has acknowledged that he thinks part two is the most interesting, in his opinion.
Yeah, I do think it is the most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But
believe every moment, you believe every minute of it too.
Yeah,
at least I did.
And I've hinted as much in this commentary and even that one that, you know, I do feel like it is the most interesting one. But I think, for me, this is probably, I don't know, I hate to go against the first one, but this is probably my favorite story mm-hmm. of the three.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously as a movie buff, I mean, I love watching, you know, this riff on the Westerns and stuff like that, even though unfortunately I'm not as familiar with them as I should be, but
.
I love that.
That's a really funny line. That's
you
a really
remember
funny.
What happened to you on the 4th of July?
And they leave it to your imagination.
Yeah.
Leave the bottle, get another... What's the name of this actor, Brian?
Oh, God.
He's on L.A. Law. Richard A. Dysart?
Mm-hmm.
You got that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? I never noticed.
He is on L.A. Law movie.
You know what I never noticed? Is that bullet hole in Doc's hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a bullet hole in there from when Marty shoots it off of his head. I never noticed that until just now.
Check that out.
There's some really wonderful Western action sequences throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically just, you know, nonstop roller coaster from here on out.
Well, you know, it's real six. So
yeah.
Rightfully so.
Maybe with a little bit of real five in there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do notice the bullet hole.
Yeah.
Should he really? Well, I guess it doesn't matter that he's going away the horse.
He's running a bareback, too. That's pretty...
Yeah.
It's pretty tricky. He just likes to hold it. There's some really wonderful camera angles in this,
yeah,
all throughout this particular one. Back to the Future.
Right.
Good night.
Dang.
Just one?
Yes.
Bartender's a very funny character actor.
Yeah. Tabasco sauce,
coffee,
and the bottle that might have been appropriate for the time.
And for what it's worth, the only thing that cures a hangover is time. Just
well, not 10 minutes.
Not that I've experienced too many hangovers in my life, but the few that I have experienced, the only thing that's going to cure it is time.
Ha, ha, ha.
Is that, would that really be a reflex? I mean, it seems a bit outrageous. That's just me. I don't know, I could be wrong. Yeah, this definitely looks like blue screen.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that looks less
or
like
green screen or whatever the hell color they were using at this time.
I was just gonna say that looks less like blue screen. I think it has to do with how good the lighting is right there. No.
Then you're fast. Here lies Clint Eastwood.
I'm just, how did he become the leader of this gang?
Yeah, really. because he's vicious.
Yeah.
He's a mad dog. Not necessarily is he the brightest of the bunch.
Well, let me down.
Clint Eastwood must have just gotten a kick out of this line coming up.
We gotta wonder, you know, just exact, you know, I guess it's just a testament to Eastwood, you know, how a big movie star like that would take an homage like this, you know, how he would react.
Oh, apparently he was tickled by it. And yeah. I mean, I have no doubt that he was.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I mean, he had to enjoy this. I mean, he's such a fan of Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
He's made so many great ones himself. That really looks like John Williams. I'm convinced of that. I mean, I have no idea what he would be doing in this movie, but still.
That's probably my favorite hero moment in the trilogy, is right there when camera pans up and he says he's got a gun. Although he does a total backlash right here. I don't know if you've ever seen the edited version for TV.
No.
When Marty says, he's an asshole! And like it's such bad dubbing. He goes, he's an airhead.
I have seen
it
that.
So, it's so obvious.
Yes, I have seen that.
Yeah. He's an airhead. And it's so bad. But we could get into.
He really overshot the cover on that when he was looking.
Mm-hmm. We can get into bad dubbing when we, you know, bad. Edited for television dubbing when we watch something that's has more.
Do we have anything coming up? I mean,
well, we got Jay and Silent Bob, which that's just gonna be
that hasn't been on TV yet.
But that's gonna be a treat to watch on television.
That would be exactly 2 seconds long.
Yes. You know, the commentary talks about how the filmmakers went back and forth over how obvious they should, you know, how much they should acknowledge the stove cover.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it does kind of look like clearly as something underneath is...
Well, I'm talking about, you know, whether or not... You know, because you only see it once and until before the payoff.
Yeah.
And there was some discussion, I think, between the filmmakers of whether or not they should really hammer the fact that, you know, he's going to use that to... What's the name of the producer director or not producer writer?
Bob Gale.
Bob Gale. I like a story he tells right there in the commentary about how he shows his wife that part in the movie, or he reads that part to his wife in the movie, you know, and talks about how originally Claire had described Doc as this wild-eyed, long-haired scientist type, mm-hmm. you know. And his wife says, no, you know, Claire wouldn't describe him that way.
Yeah. The way she describes him in the movie is much better.
Is much more accurate. And I just like that story that Bob Gale tells about how his wife made him change that line.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute.
That really is a change for the better.
Mm-hmm. A lot of classic Western angles being recreated right here.
Yeah.
Not to mention imagery.
And music.
Yes. Eh? But you know what? This scene is played, you know, really well, and you know, you really do believe, you know, even though you hear the sound effect there.
Yeah.
You really do believe that Marty's been shot.
Mm-hmm.
At least I did anyway. I mean, I was...
Oh, yeah, I did at the time, too. I mean, now you really notice that sound effect.
How the hell old were we when this movie came out? And
I was about 13.
I was probably about 13 or 14 myself. I know, maybe 12, because I know you're older than I am, but... yeah, I totally believe that this was... Well, again, I mean, I believe every minute of this movie, so...
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not yet.
This is when... Yeah.
There you go. Fistful of Dollars homage here.
Which was also...
Clint Eastwood's... The first Clint Eastwood Sergio Leone
mm-hmm.
Western.
And we know where we got... Where we know where Marty got this idea, because he... He saw
the movie playing in part two.
Yes! I do remember cheering at this part.
Yeah.
And we have...
For the third time.
The manure gag. It was good.
He's a smart man.
Well, yeah, that's the guy who's been making Biff look halfway intelligent. Or not Biff, Buford.
Yeah.
Now, you know why Marshall Strickland isn't here, Brian?
No, I don't.
Because there's a deleted scene of Buford Tannen shooting Marshall Strickland in the back right before this showdown.
Really?
Yes, there is.
I did not know that.
But for, you know, obvious reasons, you know, it was actually pretty grim, and I agree.
It is actually a pretty good addition when you mention what it is, but
yeah,
I mean, it is pretty good that it was deleted.
Yeah, because I think
I never thought about the fact that he wasn't there. I don't know. I guess for
it never
registered to me that he was really there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's explained in subsequent dialogue in the movie that he's somewhere, he's at a hanging or something.
Hmm.
But I mean, really, what it is that, you know, he had been shot by Buford Tannen just moments before the showdown.